Thank you for watching Conscious Consumer Network. The live stream broadcast is free to view. You can pause and rewind live broadcasts to catch up, or view shows at a later date by accessing our free archives of all shows. Check out our broadcast guide to see what's on. You can show your support by donating to our network support fund. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or subscribe to the monthly newsletter for updates. We thank you for supporting free and independent media.
Welcome everyone to episode 41 of Unspun. I'm here with Steve Outram up in beautiful San Francisco, and Joe is not going to be with us today. He was here, but he had to leave, so hopefully he'll be available for next week's show. We've got a good show for you today. We're going to be breaking down some more on Burning Man, which, of course, Steve Outram has done so well to expose on the Gnostic Media podcast with our, up to this point, four-part series, with part five coming out soon. And so anyway, Steve, welcome.
Thanks, Jan. Good to be back. So Burning Man has just happened a couple of weeks back. They go up to the desert in Nevada, a place called Gerlach, and it's about a couple of hour drive away from Reno. And Reno has been in the news this year. It was on the front cover of Bloomberg magazine as the biggest little tax haven in the world. So Reno is becoming a new tax haven, and the Bloomberg article highlighted the role of the Rothschild family in setting up this tax haven. They've got one of their representatives there, and it's very interesting that probably 2 to 3 weeks after the story came out about, hey, everybody, move your tax haven business to Reno, the Panama Papers scandal broke, and one of the traditional old tax havens suddenly fell apart. The Prime Minister of Iceland was forced to resign. The Prime Minister of the United Kingdom was implicated in the scandal. And he has resigned as well, although officially his reason for resigning is the Brexit vote. But it's certainly sent quite a few ripples around the world and exposed quite a few people that were doing dodgy dealings. And many Americans actually thought that the smart thing to do would be to get their money offshore to Panama. But as it turns out today, the smart thing to do is to get your offshore money into Reno, Nevada. And the biggest company doing this is Apple. They have an office up there with four people, and they manage $220 billion or so of cash. Most of this money is outside of the US. They haven't paid any tax on it, or if they paid tax, it was merely cents in the dollar. And if they had to reinvest it directly in the US, then they might have some tax implications. So the system kind of forces this tech money, once it's been made, to go offshore. And then what happens to that money then, nobody really knows. It disappears in the shadow banking system. So very interesting that Reno is being promoted as the new tax haven by the Rothschilds. We also have the Rothschilds attending Burning Man. We have Rockefellers going to Burning Man, many of the elite families. This year there was a big controversy about the Burning Man class war, as they call it. And there's a camp there known as White Ocean. That's run by some billionaires, and they were attracting some bad heat from the traditional burners. So this is sort of positioned as one of these hotel camps where you can fly in, stay for maybe $10,000, you get a room for a week, maybe $20,000 for a couple. You have meals provided for you, you get your own bathroom and your own shower, your RV is serviced. And, you really escape from the harsh conditions of the desert. And I think a big part of Burning Man is this test. They put you in a traumatic situation, and then they see how you respond.
Kind of like the hero's journey or something.
It's kind of like the hero's journey and kind of like an acid test as well.
You know? Right, and we've been discovering the hero's journey in all sorts of funny places lately. Yeah. So, did you want to just dive right into this, or?
Sure, let's go straight into that, yeah.
All right, well, what we want to do today is we're going to be discussing the Black Rock City Census, and this census is for the burner community, and it has some really interesting questions that we're going to be going in or into that reveal sort of a very interesting agenda behind this census and the way that it's actually trying to make participants of the census feel by participating in it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, look, I'm not an expert in statistics, but I did study it a little bit at college. And to me, I think one of the great dangers of statistics is that you can sway it in certain directions. And by the questions you ask, by the way that you ask them, by the order that you present them and things like that, you can get some people to say, oh, look, this is all a bit too hard, or this is a bit personal, or I don't want to participate. You can also ask a set of questions that a certain demographic or subset of your community would be very, very interested in participating in and engaging with. And so the census in that case becomes maybe not an unbiased thing, but almost weaponized in a way that it can be targeted towards, you know, manipulating results in the, or at least pushing results towards a direction that suit the objectives. The Black Rock City Census has been going on for a long time. I believe it was started by Marion Goodell, the CEO, around about 2001, 2002. And they've always asked a lot of questions that seemed really beyond what is necessary to put on a festival in the desert, whether it's a music festival or an arts festival or even an experimental acid test. You know, what's the purpose of this thing? If it's for entertainment reason, then why are you asking a census? Is it to get to know your customers better so that you could deliver better entertainment to them in the future? Well, at Burning Man, you bring your own entertainment. There's really nothing provided for you.
Sure.
Although Burning Man itself is that kind of is.
You know, and so then, and the study, and we have it up here on the screen. The study was done by Dominique, how do you pronounce that?
Belu-Prévost.
Belu-Prévost, PhD, and you know, so this is the front page of the census. Let me see if I can scroll down.
So he's at the University of Quebec in Montreal.
University of Quebec studying a U.S. event. Interesting. All right, so we're just going to start cutting through these, and I guess we just need to click next here. All right, so. You want to just dive into these, or should we just skip back? You know, the first questions are, is this your first time at Black Rock, filling out the Black Rock census this year?
That's an interesting question in itself, isn't it? Is it the first time that you filled out a census form online this year?
Right.
For Black Rock City. So either they're trying to identify that there are competing censi out there, or is this immediately saying, you know what, if you feel like it, you can go through and fill the survey out twice.
Right.
I don't know, maybe we should click that and see what happens. But then the next question, was this your first time visiting Black Rock City? Yes. Or no, I've been before, or I didn't go. What year were you born? All kind of, you know, reasonably straightforward so far. So suddenly we get to, what is your current gender?
Current gender. Notice the loaded statement there. Not that gender is something that you're born with. What is your current gender? And then it says both, neither, or fluid.
Yeah, you could be female, male, or both, slash neither, slash
fluid. So what they're trying to do is give the idea or the notion that gender isn't determined by having been born with a penis or a vagina, that it's just a fluid thing. You can gain a penis, lose a penis, switch back and forth, gain a vagina, lose a vagina. It's just fluid. It's both. It's neither. You know, so, and then the next question is, what sex was assigned to you at childbirth? So notice this is a loaded question. Not, you know, were you born with a penis or a vagina, which is automatically descriptive of being male or female. It's a loaded question there. What sex was assigned to you at birth to make you feel questioning about gender identity of itself? The questions are loaded in order to drive the person to a point of view where they feel the need to question their whole gender identity.
Yeah, and it, I see some hints of Brave New World in this. Like, who is it that's assigning sex to people at birth? I mean, I thought that's something that came from the heavens.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's a really good, you know, what sex was assigned to you at birth? No, I mean, you were born. It's like there are boy dogs and girl dogs, male and female. So, of course, the typical Satanist wants to create this transhumanist, any of these trans ideas, what's the transpersonal psychology, all of this stuff. So they're trying to sell this whole notion that gender is just fluid and it doesn't matter. So obviously this is a lie. This is sophistry. It's designed to get you to question your identity in the first place. And then this is followed up by the very next question in the study here.
Yeah, do you consider yourself to be any of the following? And check all that apply. Trans star person, e.g. transgender, transsexual. Gender queer, gender non-conforming, gender questioning, two spirit, or someone with an intersexual condition. I don't even know what these things mean.
Well, sure, yeah, they're actually making up terms. And mind you that this is supposed to be an academic study put out by a PhD at a university. And here he is literally making up terms to fit this agenda, to go along with the sophistry that he's trying to create to get people to question their identity and what it is. And of course, throw in some high estrogen foods like soy, throw in a low cholesterol, low fat diet, which produces testosterone, et cetera. And then you can start, you know, having people with the highest ever in history with gender identity issues.
Yeah. And I want to point out about this, that there seems to be an agenda behind these questions. Yeah, perhaps that's a pun, agenda. But they had the LGBT movement that began in San Francisco in 1977 with big parades in the street, marching in the street saying, we want rights, we want to be seen as humans, we want to be seen as equal humans, we want to be able to marry, you know, we want to be accepted in society. And it seems like they very much have achieved that. The Burning Man questions in the earlier days of the census did ask about sexuality. And you could be L or G or B or T. You could identify as a transgender. You could identify as bisexual. But that's gone now. They've achieved that. They've achieved their gay marriage, but they are still pushing.
Right, yeah.
This agenda. What is two-spirit that is covered by bisexual, right? Like,
and once they achieve their goal, you know, it's the move that the goalpost fallacy, right? So now they've extended it out further. Well, now we have gay rights, gay marriage, all of this. Father and mother are being forcibly removed from legal documents, and now it's this nonsense of parent one, parent two, etc. So all of this has been achieved, but now they're trying to break down even what these are and go far beyond that, far beyond any identity.
And we can see the hints of cultural Marxism in doing that.
Right, absolutely.
Weaponizing language and using words to divide us and confuse us.
Absolutely.
I was attacked by an employee of Burning Man in the last few weeks because on the Burning Man Journal, they had a story about police officers going to the temple. Burning Man has a large temple, and they use it to commemorate grief these days. So the police officers commemorated a fallen comrade. Burning Man had a story on their website. I shared it on my Facebook group, burners.me, and all I said was Blue Lives Matter because it was a fallen officer. And I think that's important. Apparently, that's a racist statement to say that Blue Lives Matter is racist. Now, I didn't even know blue was a race.
It's usually the color, often the color of a police uniform.
Yes, and there can be African American,
Latino, or white, or
like this. I don't know. Asian. There's anything in the police force that says that they have to be a specific race to be a police officer.
Right. So, in fact, the last time I was pulled over about a dozen years ago in L.A. for running through a light, Asian police officer working for the LAPD department. He did not give me a ticket, but Asian. So he's a blue Asian.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just seems crazy, but it's an example of how this movement of Black Lives Matter is using language to divide and attack. And this is very deeply buried within Burning Man, because this was an employee of Burning Man coming to troll me on my Facebook page. And, you know, when I pointed out that they were working for Burning Man, they just deleted the whole thread. Luckily, I'd saved some screenshots of it. But, you know, anyway, coming back to these questions, you know, I think many regular, you know, heterosexual man and woman type people seeking that type of relationship who went to Burning Man looking for fun, they might have got through this survey and answered these first six questions. And then I'm thinking, well, do I really want to spend 45 minutes of my time figuring out if I'm two-spirit or genderqueer or non-determinative gender? What? I mean, you're a man or a woman. So straight away, you know, my initial reaction to this would be to walk away from it. I was actually sent a link to this from another burner, and that was their reaction as well. And they could see straight through it that they are trying to self-select for the LGBT community. That right. really love, because they love to talk about this. They love to write a 1,000-word essay at the end about their two-spirit gender queerness. And so you're going
and come to Burning Man to find yours.
Yeah, and then you'll really look. The Burning Man survey says 30% are gender queer. So right. if you're gender queer, well, of course you want to go there. That's
right.
The place.
And
what it actually means, no one ever says it at any time.
Sure,
they just
sure.
know it's desirable.
All right, so what's the next question here?
So we have to fill out a few of these so we can say first time, yes. Yes, first time. So the next question that then comes up, and that's manipulative as well, is that they're saying, check all the years that you attended the Burning Man event in the Black Rock Desert or Baker Beach. So as we expose in part four of the Shadow History of Burners, the official story of Burning Man starting in 1986 at Baker Beach is actually not the full story. It was going on much earlier. It was probably going on at Ocean Beach. And in fact, if we have a time a bit later since that episode, someone in the audience has actually sent us in a link to an earlier event going on in 1979 at the Sausalito Houseboats that was called Zozobra. Oh, sorry, I'm getting those two confused. At the Sausalito Houseboats in 1979 was called Beelzebub. So they made a...
Yeah. I just clicked the wrong one. Sorry, I was trying to show it on screen here.
They created this one is the Zozobra event. So this started in Santa Fe, New Mexico in 1924. So they're coming up on 100 years of it. And they create a giant wooden wicker man, and they burn it on fire in a big ceremony as the climax of the event. And they do this based on the ancient wicker man of the Druids. Can you switch to the other one, which is called Beelzebub?
Let's see this one. Okay.
There,
yeah, here, let me, I got to stop sharing and come back in.
So the Sausalito Houseboats have a quite a strong countercultural link. They sort of were this ragtag bunch of rebels and pirates kind of fighting for their existence of their community against developers and possibly even some people from the East Coast with mob connections, you know, wanted to come down and take over, get rid of their houseboats and build you know, big condos down on the waterfront. These people resisted, the community fought back and won, and there's a sense of pride amongst this little houseboat community. But we find some incredibly important figures of the counterculture living down there. Stuart Brand is living in the houseboats. Alan Watts, there's this famous houseboat party. Also Ted Nelson.
Yeah, and we actually did try to find the houseboat yesterday, but we didn't find it. But we got close.
There's a lot of houseboats down there. But you also have Ted Nelson, who created Xanadu, which is basically the precursor of the World Wide Web as a hypertext technology and vision. I mean, these are big, big thinkers. And you also had the location of the Whole Earth Empire offices, the review, catalog, whatever, was down there at Sausalito by Stuart Brand's houseboat. So coming out of these counterculture, you know, ragtag band of rebels of Sausalito houseboat crew, they make the statue called Beelzebub, a wooden statue. It's probably, you know, 20, 30 feet high. And they carry it through the community in a big parade. And people come up to it and they make wishes. They write their wishes on a little note and they stick the wishes to the statue. And then they burn it after the parade. That's the culmination of the event. And the attendees commenting on this photo on Facebook, is that visible to the audience now?
You know what? It was supposed to be. Maybe it's not.
Okay.
Let me try that again.
But the attendees...
this one again. There we go.
Okay. They openly acknowledge that this was the first incarnation of Burning Man in the Bay Area. And it grew out of this to what eventually happened in Baker Beach. So now I think we can show a line from Beelzebub, obviously another name for the devil and Satan. In 1979, Wicker Man burning events next to the water, to then the Timothy O'Neill and possibly OTO, certainly, you know, connected to Templar, Illuminati, Freemason-style organizations doing Burning Man-style events on Ocean Beach, and then moving it to Baker Beach, which is at the Presidio. We were lucky enough to get a tour of the Presidio today, and one of the things that I learned was that there's, as well as the military land, which it was taken over by George Lucas, and he still retained the lease. So he sold his empire to Disney, but he kept all the real estate, which... it's probably worth more than Star Wars when you have a look at that piece of real estate and where it is in San Francisco. There was part of the Presidio that wasn't handed over because it's run by the National Park Service, a service of the Department of the Interior. And that's where Burning Man began officially, the Larry Harvey Burning Man on Baker Beach. It then moved to the National Park Service, Department of the Interior, Bureau of Land Management out in the Black Rock Desert. So it's never left federal property from the beginning of Burning Man, but these people were doing it privately. So coming back to the census, you know, what it's saying is, what was your first Burning Man, and you can't go before.
Well, that was the page before, right?
You can't go before Burning Man. And so now we're coming back to where do you reside? We're not at Black Rock City, within Nevada, within California, other location of the U.S. in Canada. And then other, please specify country. So traditionally, in Burning Man, these numbers have been about 6% of burners are from Canada, and about 40 to 45% are from California. So it has gone beyond being just a San Francisco thing and just a California thing. The participation within Nevada, I think there's a lot of people in Reno that go, and certainly you meet a lot of people there from Las Vegas. There is a Las Vegas Burning Man scene, but you know, Nevada itself is a pretty small state compared to California.
Right.
There's also a lot of
population-wise, anyway.
Yeah, population-wise. And so then now we come down to what was your personal income in 2015 before taxes? Give your best estimate. Please do not include your spouse's income as your own. I mean, and look at the different bars they have. They go from I have no personal income, less than 7,500, then it goes up in increments of 7,500 for a while. 35 to 50, 50 to 75, 75 to 100. Now, I mean, I'm not sure if that's been pulled from some tax code somewhere. I don't think so. But does it really matter whether someone going to Burning Man has an $8,000 a year income or a $16,000 a year income? I mean, it just...
Well, if you factor in the fact that, you know, somebody who makes $7,500 a year, they would be spending like 10% of their annual income on this, on the ticket to get in.
Yeah,
or 5%,
well, look, the cheapest ticket is $397. And then the next tier of tickets was $997. And then the top tier was $1,207. It's completely sold out of the 390 tickets. But if you know the right people within the Burning Man organization, you get invitations. And then the larger, more organized theme camps get a certain number of ticket allocations for those 397 tickets. But you're right, at the cheaper, and there's a low income ticket as well, and it would be very interesting to see the number of low income tickets handed out by the Burning Man organization versus how many burners there actually were in these income brackets. But in fact, with a lot of the census data, we don't get to see it. We get to see, you know, cherry picked interpretations of the results rather than the raw data. I'm not saying that's the case for this census. Let's hope that they, you know, finally going to be transparent, but every year Burning Man tells us they're being more transparent while revealing less information to us.
Now, next question. Does your household include other persons? A household consists of one or more persons who live together. See, here, they actually provide the definition of what a household is, whereas before they're just making up words, right? Trans, you know, humanist, gender, you know, Huxley and cyber, whatever.
Yeah, well, I mean, even here is kind of a unique definition. A household consists of one or more persons who live together and in the same dwelling. So there are persons who live together, but not in the same dwelling.
Well, and so they're trying to separate from the idea of family.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So, and, I don't know, that's kind of a strange question. Again, what's the relevance to a dance party? And, you know, Burning Man say that it's not just a rave in the desert, that they're making the world a better place. And they also say that they're social engineers. That's what they do, and that's their primary competency. But how do they social engineer when all they do is pick an annual theme for their event? But suddenly when we look at these questions and the granularity and the shaping and the use of language, maybe this indeed is where we start to see some of the evidence of the type of social engineering that's going on towards burners being run by academic institutions. And speaking of which, now we go to which level of education have you completed? Okay. Do you want to read that out?
All right, so which level of education have you completed? High school, diploma, or equivalent? Some college, associate's degree, bachelor's, graduate degree, master's, doctorate equivalent, technical vocational certification, healing certification, i.e. herbal medicine, acupuncture, massage, beauty certification, hair, esthetician, cosmetology, other, please specify, or none of the above.
I mean, there are all kinds of trade and technical qualifications. You can get qualifications for computer networking, for car mechanic, get a black belt in karate. Like, why is it that to Burning Man, the beauty certification of an esthetician and a healing certification is important figures for them to track?
Right.
Is it because they're interested in the penetration of the new age within this culture?
And especially when you think of, you know, the massage, acupuncture, and herbal medicine, it's completely penetrated by the CIA's new age versus the estheticians and cosmetologists would not be typically.
Right.
You know, I mean, they do a lot of gossiping and stuff like that, but typically when you go in to get a haircut, you're not, you know, met by somebody who's dangling crystals and playing new age music and this sort of thing, right?
Good point. So I guess tick a couple of those.
All right, so let's see. We're just going to click some of these and go to the next page. None of those are starred, so.
So what was the first language you learned and still use?
So now this to me looks like they want to target language groups.
Well, that's right, because they have other all the way through this, which is convenient, but they've picked certain languages that are obviously the ones most of interest to them. And I'm interested to see both Hindi and Punjabi there. I mean, why? There's Urdu and Farsi and Tagalog, Romanian. Like,
well, sure. Why? I mean, Romania is a small country. Why not have Serbian or Croatian or, you know?
In New Zealand, I went to school. I learned to speak some Maori. But why is it Maori there?
Well,
there
what about
Maori in the world?
What about Finnish or something like that? You know,
that's right. I mean, Swedish is there. Norwegian is there, Danish is there.
And I don't see what's the one in Southern Africa?
Afrikaans.
Yeah, you know, these aren't Swahili, there. Swahili, etc.
So it
even looks like they're targeting specific ethnic groups and not others. Would you go?
What was the first language you learned and still use? Like, what does that mean? Like, why don't they just ask what languages do you speak and you click checkboxes, right? Like, wouldn't that be more useful information from a survey if you wanted to get data from people that are giving you 45 minutes to fill this out? So, I don't know. It seems a little weird. What category best describes your ethno-racial background?
So now it's not your race. It's ethno-racial background.
Yeah.
So this is a whole new term I've never heard before. Did they include a definition in this one? They, wait, this one does not have it. So they're defining some words and not defining other words, even though Dr. What was his name? You know, is making up everything as he progresses through this, you know. Anyway.
The doctor from Quebec.
Yeah, the doctor from Quebec.
Provost.
There we go.
So, I mean, are they going to ask in next year's census or the one after, what ethno-racial background was assigned to you at birth?
What if you bleach your skin or something like that? Then you can just
alter it.
Right. Then you're
ethno-racial fluid.
Well, no, it would be transracial.
Perfect.
Right. See, so, sorry, Satanists, you don't get credit for that one. I own that. I patented it. You cannot do that one. I will sue you if you do that, just to let you know. So hands off the transracial agenda.
But anyway, let's say what category best describes. First one is Asian. The second one is Native American. And then please specify your tribal affiliation. Now, first of all, you know, I'm lucky enough to know some people that have Native American blood,
right.
But most of them relate their ancestry to multiple tribes, right? So
sure.
In a way, it's almost racist.
You know, sure.
But perhaps they're encouraged to put as many as they want. Then we come down to Hispanic/Latino, for example. I mean, they
right.
have to
well, you know, I mean, you know, what about like, so Mexico? I mean, if you look at, you know, Montezuma, who ruled the tribe of Mexico or the Mexicans, well, that was just the center of a massive Mexican empire that consisted of hundreds of smaller tribes.
Right.
You know?
And again, from the people that I've met from Mexican descent, some of them, you know, think of themselves as of Spanish ancestry
rather than
of Mexican ancestry. Some think of them as Mexican ancestry. So
that
isn't being asked. They say Hispanic/Latino, and then the examples are Mexican, Puerto Rican, Cuban, Colombian, Brazilian. I mean, I don't think you need examples, but if you're going to put examples, maybe you say easy Mexican, Spanish. Right.
Well, I mean, is it possible that someone from Argentina, for instance, is Italian?
Right.
Right. You know?
Yeah, or from Colombia. So, and then we have we have white/Caucasian brackets non-Hispanic. Now, you know.
They wanted so much specificity regarding the languages, but why clump the whole European continent into one race, white Caucasian?
Yeah, I mean, have you ever thought of yourself, what race are you? Non-Hispanic.
I mean, non-Hispanic.
Non-Hispanic race. And then the next one is black non-Hispanic. Now, first of all, these are the most politically correct people I've ever run across in my life. And if I went around saying people are black, they would jump down my throat and abuse me for being racist. But in the survey, they don't say. They have to say African-American. And then not only do they say black, they say blacks, brackets, non-Hispanic.
Right.
So what? So if you're Hispanic with dark skin, you're not allowed to identify as black, but you can identify as genderqueer. Like, what?
Right.
This is getting confusing, right? It's hard to answer these multi-choice because of the way they
gibberish sophism,
yeah,
you know, by Dr. Provost of Quebec.
Yeah.
Good job on your sophist training, doctor.
And then other please specify. So I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
what about a policeman? Is there a trans blue?
Maybe that's a fireman and policeman. They could quite easily have said, let's go to Wikipedia and type in human races and whatever the ones are there. Or I'm sure in this world there are international standards accepted in the world of statistics and analytics for what are the categories of race. Like a great one would be the U.S. Census.
Right.
Why don't you just use the categories of the U.S. Census?
Right.
But they're not trying to gather.
Well, see, and what they're trying to do is I think they're trying to use this census itself as a tool for the burners to then go out and seed these newly created sophist terms out into the rest of the population.
Yeah.
Well, today I identified as a transhumanist, quadruple identified, mixed up, you know, confused person, right?
And something that I should point out that will be obvious to anyone that's familiar with the Burning Man organization, but probably a mystery to outsiders, is that within the 100 or so people that work for Burning Man, the company, that spend all year round putting on this 1 week long event, the demographic and the skewing is very much towards this survey, right?
Right.
They will tick all the boxes on that. They would have far more two-spirit and genderqueer working in their office than IBM or Microsoft.
Do you suspect that next year they'll add a question to the census if the takers of the census saw this interview this year?
Yeah, do you
because then it would just skew all of their their answers, right?
Yeah. Well,
right.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. Well, they put some weighting in for them.
Right, right.
So anyway, right, moving on from, so we've had a question about what language did you have at birth, and then we have a question about what best describes your ethno-racial background. Can you go back?
Oh, sorry.
Because we actually did, it seemed like we were finished on that, but we weren't.
Is there another one there?
Yep, because now it says, do you consider yourself to be a person of color?
I mean, sometimes they're trying to steal my trans racial identity thing. Yeah. See that right there?
So if you're black non-Hispanic, do you consider yourself to be a person of color? Like,
so it, well, is this,
I mean,
those,
if you're white, is that not a color?
Maybe that deals with those people who got busted pretending they were black doing the black rights. Is that what that is?
Perhaps they were ethno-racially fluid. You know?
Right, ethno-racially fluid. There you go.
And then the final question here is, are you eligible to vote in the United States? Which,
well, and that's an important question for a Quebec doctor, right?
That's right. Let alone a dance party.
Right. Because, you know, you need to be able to vote, right? All right. So
I got to say, I don't think that there would be too many genderqueer two spirits in San Francisco voting for Donald Trump.
All right, so people are different in their sexual attraction to other people. Which best describes your feeling? Are you only attracted to females, mostly attracted to females, equally attracted to males, females and males, mostly attracted to males? See, so what they're doing is they're trying to promote and push this whole transgender, transsexuality, Bruce gender confusion identity, low cholesterol diet thing onto the masses so that they're confused. And what they're using this test for is to judge their progress in this. That's my feeling on it.
Yeah, and the options are like, I am not sure, and I have no sexual attraction as well.
Right, but in case you're an asexual, right.
It does seem to me very much geared towards suggesting that anything within the spectrum of LGBT and now Q as well is completely acceptable and normal. And if you ever even once like looked at a man and thought, oh, that's a good looking man, therefore you should just identify as LGBT.
Right. Now, do you think we should put a disclaimer into the show right now in case there's somebody who is out of their, you know, university safe zone?
Yeah, we may be triggering some.
Right,
well, they have free spirit and they weren't listed as an option.
Right, because you know, because their egos might be totally blown out of, you know, proportion, and they can't see the humor and the social manipulation and social engineering involved in all this. So they might get offended at our humor of this whole thing, rather than seeing that the entire thing is social engineering created by psychopaths.
Yeah, look, it's quite possible. I guess we'll see if we get attacked by social justice warriors as well as the regular trolls.
Well, you know, next week the internet is being taken over, and you know, I don't want to give them again any ideas, but maybe this will be a gauge, you know.
Yeah, well, look, just an aside on that, and then maybe if it's time at the end of the show we can even come back. But that's a really big deal. You know, you've been told that maybe the internet's going to be handed to the United Nations or China. It isn't. It's been handed to a tax-free nonprofit California corporation set up by Silicon Valley venture capitalists. And that's happening next week. They have complete control of all of the IP addresses and the possibility for the internet kill switch, the possibility to have entire top sites taken off the internet. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if as part of this, they're then going to introduce, you need to have a unique personal identifier in order to use the internet.
Well, that's
and then if they don't like
ideas.
You, they take you out, and that's it. You're never allowed back on. So I see this as one of the worst things that's
so,
ever happened.
So what you're saying is that if you speak too much truth and get too much out about them, they could turn you off and leave you permanently a free person, not connected to the Matrix?
Yeah, well, I mean, when you put it like that, it kind of sounds silly. But, but as we've seen, it's those of us who are using the internet to find out the truth and to share it with others, like Jan and myself, that's who's getting attacked. That's who's getting attacked by trolls, by hackers, by viruses, slander from everybody from, you know, the White House to professors. And, you know, that hasn't worked for them. They haven't been able to shut the truth up, and people are waking up and they're learning. And so they're starting to become very, very afraid. And this is kind of the president's last act. See you later as he leaves office. You know, the most incredible technology ever created by the world, the internet, an amazing American invention from the Pentagon, a brilliant military weapon that has taken over the whole world. We're like, yeah, you know, we'll give it to Esther Dyson. Now she'll probably know what to do with it. Anyway, let's come back to this because, you know, I mean, we've been going for a while now trying to do this survey and the census. And I mean, it's just click the box, multiple choice. But the reason it takes so long is you've got to figure out what every single thing means. And a lot of these words.
And it's designed to make you completely confused and doubting yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and by the end of this, you might need to go eat some bacon and eggs to get your cholesterol levels up so that your body can produce testosterone or estrogen or whatever it is you were born with a penis or a vagina. And so then, you know, your hormones get placed back the way they were meant to be, you know?
Yeah, well, and you know,
because you don't see, you know, well, never mind. I don't want to start a whole.
Anyway, I confess I haven't completed the survey all the way through to the end. And any answers I did give probably weren't genuine. Sorry, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you get to the end and there's a question like, do you feel confused about your sexuality?
Right.
And they'll say, we'll claim that as curious.
Right. You know, and those of you who do take this survey, you know, you can go through all of these questions and not submit them, you know, but maybe we should submit them, you know, or get a whole bunch of people to submit them in a way that skews and messes up their whole study.
You mean like Discordian culture jamming?
You mean, well, we don't want to use their own tactics against them, do they? Do we? That might be stooping to the use of sophistry. I mean, however the audience decides to handle it.
We might need to take some LSD and do the survey.
Right, and then, you know, we can.
Anyway, don't do that, kiddies.
Yeah, it's CIA mind control. I've well proved that. So.
It's the CIA's first weapon to get inside your head. So coming back to the questions. So, okay, the next one is, which of these expressions best describes your sexual orientation? Check the best answer. Heterosexual or straight? Heterosexual or straight?
Right.
I'm sorry, what does that mean?
Right. Well, you know, they're breaking it down, even though they don't define these words.
Yeah.
You know, because it's eugenics, and they want to know how they're eugenics. You know, see, here's the issue, folks, is the elites, they can never elevate themselves. So the way they do it is to push everybody else down and to get them to breed out of the population.
They
reach
sideways and everyone else
right.
goes down.
So that way, you know, at least the elite, they can just stay like this, but they're going to push everybody else out. It is eugenics. That's one thing, no matter, you know, how hard or confusing this is for people to understand or how upset they are at our humor about all of this, it is eugenics, it is social engineering, it is psychopathic. They are manipulating you with the very questions. So, and then, you know, continuing questions, bisexual or pansexual. Now, several months ago, we did a show regarding pan, and of course, pan, it's not just like panoramic widespread, it deals with the god Pan, which was a Satan god. And this is where the word actually comes from. And so then they go bi-curious or hetero-flexible. Well, last time I checked, hetero means you're hetero, not hetero-flexible.
Yeah,
like, so they're creating another new word to identify, to encourage people who are hetero to be hetero-flexy, you know, like saran wrap or something.
Yeah, and just to pick up on the heterosexual or straight, a man wants to be with a woman. That shouldn't be confusing. That's the most simple, basic thing. It's biology.
Right.
It shouldn't be confusing.
Well, but
if I say heterosexual or straight, you got to think of it like,
When you mess with their heads and their diet, it's confusing. If you put a bunch of phytoestrogens in their diet through the plastics and the soy and the tofu, you know, you tell them that their liver can produce enough cholesterol. They don't need to eat fat and cholesterol. They don't need to eat their steak, bacon, and eggs and raw milk, etc. They're going to have this confusion naturally.
Yeah. So then rounding off that question was the other options are asexual and I refuse to use labels to describe my sexual orientation.
Right. So
it's pretty funny from a guy inventing a whole bunch of labels.
Right, right. So he's inventing a whole bunch of labels and then he says, let's not, you know, here's one in case you don't want to use any labels.
One of these crazy
references. So, of course, you know, being able to identify things with words is how we communicate. So this is even undermining the language itself.
In the default world, do you share your life with a partner?
Default world, in other words.
That's what Berners call the outside world is known as the default world.
Like reality, like yeah. Right. So when you're high, it's another world, and then they bring in quantum physics, and that's a whole other discussion.
Well, John Perry Barlow coined the use of cyberspace in its current form. So he says he took it from William Gibson, but he's the first to apply it to how it's used today. He also coined another term, meat space, M-E-A-T space.
Right.
So the world of the flesh and the world of the esoteric, electronic,
blinking lights. John Perry Barlow, we've identified him many times. He's identified himself as CIA, one of the co-original founders of Burning Man.
Yep, you just put John Perry Barlow, Why Spy, into Google, and you can read him telling you all about that. So anyway, when they go to back to the default world away from Burning Man, so at Burning Man, people get married. There's a lot of weddings. There's legitimate weddings. Like there's wedding planners doing maybe 117 weddings a year, legitimate ones. But there's also, you know, people getting married because they want to hook up at Burning Man. They have a Burning Man marriage. Of a good friend of mine.
Like just hook up for Burning Man?
They just met and they get married immediately. And
Is it only for the duration of Burning Man or is it outside of the default world too?
It's typically only for the duration of Burning Man. Wow. But in the case of one very good friend of mine, an incredibly clever PhD, they're still married and going really well. She's a lovely girl.
So in case you don't want to have sex out of wedlock, exactly. They have an 8-day long wedding.
Yeah, and if you've ever seen
And then what that would do is like, long-term commitment isn't important because this is just an 8-day thing. And so then that promotes the idea of, hey, you know, a wedding, it's just a little ritual. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you break it a week, 8 days later, right?
I've got your theme song from Huxley, No More.
So that's
part of it. And then if you go to Las Vegas and you go to one of the nightclubs there, you're bound to see a bachelorette party.
Right.
And all these girls will be dressed up completely scanty and the bachelorette will be the most drunk of the whole group, who are drunk, and she will have like a little veil thing on her head, and you know, maybe that girl's gonna get laid one last time before marriage. Maybe they'll go see some male strippers or something, but whatever. At Burning Man, you'll see the girls running around with that, playing that girl, but they're actually looking to hook up. They really don't care about the wedding or not. That's like become a kind of social indicator, right? It's probably not a girl on a real bachelorette party if you see her at Burning Man dressed like that, but she's probably ready to party.
Got it. Ready to party.
Well, depending, of course, on who she's going to party with.
It depends on possibly what religious background she is. So then we have to break the religions, too, so that everybody becomes an other. Please specify.
Yeah, so I am religious. How do you describe your spirituality? I'm religious. I'm spiritual but not religious. I'm an atheist. I am agnostic. I am deist. And I don't know. So what's the difference between deist and agnostic?
That means you believe in various deities, where agnostic is, I don't know. Gnosis means to know, so agnosis means to not know.
I believe that there are powers that exist in this world that we don't know. And I don't know, and that power can work in my favor, but I'm not a member of an organized religion.
So you're not an atheist, is what you're saying.
I'm either an agnostic or I am deist, but I don't know. But I actually know. You know, I mean, I know really well. But I don't know. And then that helped because they really don't like religion. You might be right, right, right. But,
no.
But in the
you mean like in the one with the upside down church and all of
In the typical demographics from the survey in the past, it's
kind of it was a church as a mousetrap. That's what it was.
But never mind that
Burning Man is a cult.
Well, they have a temple.
Did I say the C word?
We're not a religion. We're not a cult. But wash your own brain, and we have a temple.
Right.
And it's
created by the CIA and the military intelligence community, who created all the cults of the 60s and 70s and 80s, and never mind all of that, right?
You know, it's just like me being great. You know? It's not a color, really. Don't worry about it. Anyway, watch our Shadow History of Burners Part 4. And there we go.
All right. So,
and then, again, it wasn't enough to ask once, you know, a bit about, yeah, let's really get into it.
Right.
Do you belong to a religion or religious denomination? Check.
So that way they can target, know at the future Burning Man's, which religious denominations they need to target the most heavily.
Well, have a look at the segmentation here, right? And they say you have to pick one. So.
Oh, you know what? I need to resume sharing on that. Sorry, folks. There we go.
Okay. So yeah, the choices are: I don't belong to a religion, Protestant, Catholic, I am Christian, please specify, Jewish, Buddhist, Pastafarian, Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Yes, Pastafarian. You
pagan,
know.
Muslim, or Hindu. Now, this isn't an alphabetical order. It's certainly not an order of, you know, worldwide popularity. And I don't even believe it's in order of Burning Man attendance.
Now, so
how do they come up with Muslim and Hindu go last? Below Pastafarian? Are they trying to tell you
something?
Right.
Well, and what about, Bob Dobbs, you know, the Canadian intelligence guy, the sub-genius, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Where are all those religions?
We've already exposed him as an agent. Sorry about that.
Yeah, all right. So this is new territory for me. Now, I don't know what we're going to
find. All right, so here we go, folks. We ready? Here we go. All right, we don't even know. Oh, we have. Okay.
So have you attended any regional Burning Man events? You could say, no, I am not connected to my regional Burning Man.
Uh-oh. Community. So, you know, they're going to target your local community more if you're not going to any Burning Man regional events.
Well, this is really Burning Man went through four phases. We've talked a little bit about that. And they got taken over in 1997. And the group that took it over, the corporate group that kind of runs it now, their view was to expand it worldwide and to create the Burning Man network and these regional events.
Well, it's a corporation, right? So they need to grow.
Well, it's now a tax-exempt corporation.
Right.
Even kind of like the Rockefeller Foundation.
They probably have a board of directors and stuff, so they still need to increase and grow it.
They have an 18-person board of directors. And they have regional events going on in probably 60 or 70 places around the world.
Have we ever covered the board of directors?
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
All right.
We're still going through the where and the when.
Got it.
When we get to the who, it's going to take a little while. There's a lot of them to talk about. You know, it's a big organization.
They might be upset with the who.
They love me. beside Black Rock City and Burning Man regional events, do you ever go to other multi-day mass gatherings? So for the purposes of this question, a mass gathering is defined as an event, e.g. festival, convention, fair, retreat, sporting event, religious gathering, etc., in which more than 200 participants stay on site for at least 2 days. Well, I mean, that's a very, very specific question, right? What are these Quebecans trying to get at, you know? It really seems
to be... Well, because others were so vague and now they want specifics, right? So, yeah. I mean, so each of these questions, you know, it's clearly loaded to make you question on one side, but also pinpointed on the other side so that they know what to attack more in the future.
Yeah, and they tell you that when you fill this question out, it's anonymous, that you don't provide your name, but they do have access to your IP address, and they may potentially be able to see other...
Well, especially after next week, right? You know?
Yeah. So, you know, in our research, Jan, I think what we've come across quite a bit is that we find these think tanks of social engineering. So it might be the Stanford Research Institute or the Tavistock Institute, and something like the Grateful Dead or the Summer of Love or the Human Being. It seems like a bunch of hippies doing LSD, but it's actually Marshall McLuhan and Madison Avenue and Willis Harmon down at SRI. And so behind the scenes are these academic think tanks and social engineers shaping the outcome of the counterculture.
Right.
And this is very much the impression I get from this survey. Well, you know, this question about what other, I mean, it's so specific. So, well,
besides your country of residence, how many countries have you visited in your life? So this tells me, you know, how much are the people that we're targeting at Burning Man going to go to other countries and spread our bullshit sophism?
Well, that's
and
what
Satanism.
They definitely want to spread the values of Burning Man to
right.
other countries. But, you know, I think the restriction is not really how do we market it and how do we spread it. I think the restriction is actually the social engineering, that they don't have enough groups to monitor and control all the little subgroups they spin off. And that's
right.
what the choke is on their growth. You know, when they can get 3 or 4 agents per region, they can go create a group like this, study everyone, do their own little localized acid test, report back to the big base. You know, and then feed into this data that's being collected.
Right.
But if, you know, Burning Man is one of the most famous events in the world, they could, you know, any other party promoter would kill to have Oprah and The Simpsons promoting their event.
Right.
But for some reason, and these people are not the most competent managers I've ever come across, but for some reason they haven't been able to leverage this worldwide international fame to other large events going on around the world. And I think at a certain point, you've got to say, you know, surely in 20 years they would have been able to do it, but they still have these constraints. There's something else going on.
Right.
And I think, again, looking at the census, there's a sign that something else going on.
All right, so we've got 5 minutes left. Let's try to hit a few more of these. You want to read that one?
Sure. So which of the following do you use to receive news and information concerning Burning Man? Answer for each medium. Well, this is a great one because I have the largest independent site providing information about Burning Man, Burners.me, and I have 3.5 Burning Man's worth of audience. You know, like I've got more than enough people just reading my site to fill their entire event. So they're going to mention, let's mention social media, e.g. Facebook, Twitter, managed by Burning Man. Social media,
so
e.g. Facebook, Twitter, not managed by Burning
well,
Man.
Well, Burners
and
Me
it's
is
never,
not
ever,
on there.
Rarely often. So everyone, please fill up the census. Put, you know, often social media not managed by Burning Man. Often, but you know that'll be spread around a whole community where there's some other sites that have got
right.
two.
Well,
2,000,
if everybody
4,000 followers, that part of that too.
If
know?
Everybody put word of mouth and then you know received it from another source and then put Burners Me on there, then they're going to know they have a very serious problem on their hands, right? Then the
well,
the message is spreading,
media, if they put Gnostic
or
media
Gnostic media,
source,
right? You know, because you know, then the intelligence community is going to be a little bit upset.
But anyway, they're very concerned about controlling the narrative, and you know, that's like a lot of these other groups that we study and encounter all the time. They also seem to have this amazing obsession with controlling the narrative, and you know, it's kind of ironic when they talk about Burning Man social media groups not controlled by Burning Man, because you know most of the other Burning Man social media groups have been infiltrated.
Right.
So
right.
although they're not ostensibly controlled, in effect they are, whether it's tickets or VIP tours of their behind the scenes goings on, or you know, just even getting some attention and praise from the management of Burning Man, you know, that can be enough to steer a blogger to write more favorable stories about them.
Right.
You bet you that they're engaging in that type of behavior. But
so you're saying that they're staging their own positive publicity about Burning Man and leaving out the decapitations and the deaths and the rapes,
the suicides, and the drug overdoses. You know, this year I had a report. I haven't been able to confirm this yet, so take it for what it is. It's a report coming in from the internet, but it was the biggest year ever of medical evacuations for Burning Man. 20 people had to be airlifted to hospital because of a new type of drug that was going around the fire. And it was lasting from 24 to 48 hours. People were having serious problems with it. It wasn't wearing off. And it was something they hadn't seen in the emergency room there. And they didn't know how to treat.
Wonder if it was BZ or some other amide.
Well, there's an enormous amount of experimental drug research going on
right.
in the Bay Area. Organizations like MAPS that are connected
well,
to
well, and they can just pick up Pecol and Tecol from such
as Shulgin's books.
Right,
I mean,
and
but there's also this long history. As long as there's been a counterculture, as long as there's been rock and roll music and magic mushrooms and LSD, there's been in the Bay Area these chemistry labs manufacturing these substances. And, you know, people have been arrested, but the technology, know-how and equipment That hasn't gone away. It just went somewhere else. At Stanford, Berkeley, places like that, that's their chemistry labs, have all this gear, they're training people. And so there is a large amount of experimental stuff being done. In fact, one of Burning Man's founders, a guy called Danger Ranger, he boasted at the Commonwealth Club that he was a connection to the Stanford chemistry lab, and they had drugs that hadn't been outlawed yet. And here's an example of a drug that hasn't been outlawed yet, sending 20 people in helicopters to the hospital.
The CIA and intelligence community making them on one side, and then they ban them, like Timothy Leary going before Congress and requesting LSD's outlaw, and then they can go out and promote it as drugs that the federal government is trying to keep from the kids, and then rebellious teens are going to want to do them a lot more. So we're down to the last few seconds here, Steve. Your website and
burners.me. You can also check out techconspiracy.com.
And make sure you also support gnosticmedia.com. Please donate to the show as well as to CCN. Thanks for putting on the show. And ladies and gentlemen, see you next week. That's a wrap.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into CCN. This unique network is dedicated to free and independent media. CCN was created with the belief that information is the common heritage of all beings, which is why our live stream high-definition broadcast is easily accessible and free to view. If we want to change the world, we must first change the media. Having produced over 1,000 shows in 2015, which are all archived on YouTube, we look forward to bringing you more groundbreaking, cutting-edge information in 2016. For more information on what is on, please check out our broadcast guide for weekly updates. CCN broadcasts in multiple languages and features some key voices of our challenging times who are all in pursuit of a free, fair, just, sustainable world. CCN belongs to you, the people. And it is up to you all to keep this network on the air. Please contribute to the Network Support Fund or visit the CCN shop. We thank you all for supporting free and independent media.